T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Sports Talk, everyone. 7 o'clock hour here this Wednesday, March 27th on WWL. Going to get into some of our sound bank with LSU's Pro Day going on. Got Jaden Daniels, Sal Malik Nabers, and more to get into. Plus, after the first break, we'll be talking to Gary Sarnoff, author of a new book, Team of Destiny, about the 1924 Washington Senators, and just chat with him general about MLB baseball opening day tomorrow around the league. And always a fun time. Would remember back in my days growing up in New Jersey, would go to New York as often as I could to see the Yankees play. And obviously opening day, a huge moment and just a whole spectacle to see. Always a good time, and definitely missed that part of the Northeastern life. But I see already that the Phillies and New York Mets already have their opening day matchups postponed, I'm guessing due to poor weather up in the Northeast area. And I guess it's good the Yanks are in Houston to open the season, so they're not forced to, you know, not have an opening day game and, you know, I'm going to have to miss it.
Just have a retractable roof, right?
You would think that'd be easy enough, right?
Like a retractable roof, so that on beautiful nights where it's perfect baseball weather, sure, but when it's raining or when it's stupid hot out like it sometimes gets down here, just have a roof.
Can we get that at Alec Box Stadium?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Then we don't have to worry about lightning delays. The LSU Tigers baseball team, ranked 8th in collegiate baseball rankings, are taking on the top team in the nation tomorrow in Arkansas. That matchup we'll have for you on WWL. Pre-game coverage will start 5:30, 6 o'clock, first pitch in Fayetteville. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on any potential weather situations there as well. So looking forward to this one. The Tigers have had tough tests throughout the SEC and haven't been able to rise up to the occasion, I guess you would say, yet, going 2-4 in conference play. But you know this team is ready to roar and defend that national title. Going to Arkansas, I'm hoping will bring out the best in this Tiger team. But, man, I know that that Hogs pitching staff, Charlie, is no joke, especially when this lineup is really not clicking on all cylinders.
It's filthy. I mean, they have the best pitching staff in the country, best pitching staff in the SEC. At the same time, I'm not as worried as others are about LSU's 2-4 start, just because they were quite literally one pitch away from getting out of that Florida series with a victory. Now, you know, back-to-back 10-run rule losses and SEC play is not a good look on Sundays.
Right.
At the same time, this is a team that's desperately looking for some confidence. You're heading to Arkansas to face elite pitching. And if they can get, you know, like 5-6 runs per game, I think that they can come out of Arkansas and Fayetteville with 2 wins. And that's all you're asking for. Because when we talked with Mark Etheridge and we were previewing this 4-week brutal stretch with Florida, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, all top 10 ranked teams, he said that you have to win the games at home. You have to win 2 of 3 at home and then hope you don't get swept on the road. Well, you lost the series at home to Florida. You have to make a game up. You have to go to Arkansas and take 2 of 3. And it's easier said than done. Arkansas is a great team. They're 5-1 to start SEC play, but they aren't invincible. Like, we keep talking about their pitching staff, and their hitting has kind of come around a little bit. But, Steve, they've won games 1-0 this year, just based off of how good their pitching is. Like, their hitting isn't incredible. It doesn't match the level of their elite pitching staff. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this 3-game set. Once again, I would be very happy if LSU were to go to Fayetteville and take 2 of 3. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, for the Tigers then, too, you have obviously Sundays off for Easter, and you're right back in action on Monday to take on a Southern squad. Obviously, the competition level is not going to be as steep there, but a tough turnaround, I think, just because you're dealing with, you know, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday change up. You're off on Sunday for a holiday, and then boom, you're back in the action on the diamond on Monday.
Yeah, and then once again, you're coming back home for a couple straight home games. You have that series against Vanderbilt as well. So you're right back at it. You got to take down this Arkansas team 2 or 3 games. That's all you're asking for. And then you got Southern, and then you have Vanderbilt, another top 10 ranked team. By the way, that was swept this past weekend. They've been a little bit up and down, but you know what you got with Vanderbilt. They're obviously an elite team. And you're hoping that, once again, like Etheridge said, you can win those series at home.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk MLB baseball. Gary Sarnoff, author, about his new book, when we get back right here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Opening day of Major League Baseball hits tomorrow. Thank you, Gary Sarnoff, author of Team of Destiny, Walter Johnson, Clark Griffin, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators, joins us now, also a baseball historian. Gary, thank you so much for the time, and hallelujah, baseball is back.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on your show. And yeah, opening day is less than 24 hours away, so I'm excited.
Looking forward to it, and curious about your book. Tell us a little about this discussion about the 1924 Washington Senators and what's so special about this squad.
Well, a few things are special about them. First of all, they were a huge underdog. The Washington Senators never came close to winning a pennant before 1924, and they had very few winning seasons in their history. And heading into the season, they were expected to finish 6th out of 8 teams. They were expected to finish in 6th place. Some writers even picked them for last. So the fact that they were unexpected to do much winning that season, and the fact that they went all the way that year makes for a wonderful story about an underdog. Another thing that's really nice about this team, about the story, is their manager, Bucky Harris. He was only 27 years old. He only had 4 full seasons of major league playing experience, and he was hired to manage the Washington Senators in 1924. And you know the results. I mean, they under Harris, they started winning, and you know they won the pennant and the World Series under a 27-year-old manager. And I think best of all, what makes this story so special is Walter Johnson. Legendary pitcher, perhaps the best ever in Major League Baseball history, pitched his entire career with the Washington Senators, broke in at the end of the 1907 season, and never pitched for a team that had won the pennant. It looked like he would go down in history. He was entering his 18th season in 1924. It looked like he'd go down in baseball history as the greatest player who never had a chance to pitch for a pennant winner, never had a chance to pitch in the World Series, and he got his chance in 1924.
Looking at this squad, too, the 1924 Senators, how many Hall of Famers were on that that team?
Yeah, you had Bucky Harris was a Hall of Famer. Walter Johnson, of course, greatest pitcher ever. Sam Rice, the team's starting right fielder, and Goose Goslin, the starting left fielder. And if you wanted to include Clark Griffith, the team president and co-owner, that's a 5th Hall of Famer.
Gary, looking before I start getting into the deep dive of the MLB season, I just want to talk about opening day and what kind of matchups are you really looking forward to the most? I think Steve and I have kind of talked about the Yankees at the Astros as a fun one. A bunch of divisional matchups as well to start things off for the 2024 season. The Cubs and the Rangers. Rangers obviously defending their championship from last year, the World Series championship. So what are your thoughts on opening day and the matchups that we got?
Well, I haven't seen all the matchups yet. I know that our local team here, the Washington Nationals, open up in Cincinnati. You know, the nice thing about opening day is no matter how your team did in 2023, like the Nationals, for example, finished last again. They finished last every year since they won the World Series in 2019. But no matter how poorly your team did the previous year, your team's in first place on opening day.
Yeah.
So that's you're always looking forward to the next season, and you're hoping that maybe, you know, your team will be a 1924 Washington Senators.
You know,
a team that isn't expected to do well and they surprise some people.
As an Astros fan, I'll never get over that 2019 Nationals squad. They stole it from the best team in Houston history. Anyways,
yeah, that was a strange World Series.
Not a single home team won. I mean, that's a baseball historian. I know you love that stuff, Gary. But, you know, looking at the Nationals as well, they got a nice former Tiger coming up pretty soon. Dylan Cruz, the number two pick in last year's draft. I think Washington Nationals fans are going to be very happy with him when he comes up pretty soon.
Yeah, there's a big article about him in baseball in the weekly Baseball America this week's edition. And, people are saying great things about him, and we have a couple other good prospects, I hear, in our farm system. You know, when you finish low in the standings, you know, for several seasons, you're going to get some good draft picks. And, you know, that's how we got Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg. And you know what happened with them. You know, well, unfortunately, Harper wasn't here for that. But, you know, they did win it all. They won a World Series. And, you know, they've got a lot of good prospects, I hear. Their farm system's highly rated. So, and the guy you mentioned is the cream of the crop. So, you know, we'll see.
You look at some of the teams going into this season. Who are your, I guess, favorites to make it to the end and be in the World Series at the end of the year, the American League and National League?
Well, I'm hearing a lot about the Orioles, and I'm hearing a lot about the Braves. But two teams I like, it'll make you happy, the Astros is one of them. And I think the Dodgers, I know they met recently in a World Series, and if I had to make a choice right now, I think those could be the two teams we see in this year's World Series.
And then kind of piggybacking off of what Steven just asked about teams in the playoffs, I think that there's a couple divisions in this year's MLB season that really interest me. The AL East, the NL East, the AL West has some really good teams as well. So I want to actually start doing some breakdowns of some of these divisions, starting with the AL West because I am an Astros fan. I think that, you know, you can just kind of overlook the Angels and then the Oakland A's, who are going to be the Las Vegas A's before we know it, and look at the top three teams with the Seattle Mariners, who have one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball, the Astros, who are looking to get back to the World Series, and then the defending World Series champion Rangers as well. I think that that's the cream of the crop as far as divisions go.
Yeah, that's going to be a very strong division, no doubt about it, when you look at those top three teams. You know, no question. Whoever comes on top in that division is probably going to be favorite come postseason. But, you know, with the playoffs now, with the uneven amount of teams, you know, teams getting byes and teams playing in the first round, it kind of makes the postseason very unpredictable. I mean, it just seems like the top teams do not do as well these days in postseason. So, you know, you never know. But, yeah, I would think whoever wins that division would be favored come playoff time.
And then the AL East kind of hinted at it a little bit. I see that the Yankees are the preseason favorites, but a team that you had mentioned just a minute ago, Gary, the Baltimore Orioles, I was all over them last year. I thought that Vegas was really down on them. I think their over-under preseason total was like around 77 or something like that, and they had won 82 games a year ago, and they were thinking that this was a team that was going to get worse with all the young talent that they have in their farm system that's coming up. That just never made any sense to me. And obviously they kind of broke out last year. They'd make a big splash move in the offseason and bring in, you know, an ace-level pitcher and Corbin Burns from Milwaukee. And then they also have a couple other guys that are going to be coming up. I mean, already Gunnar Henderson's made a splash. Same thing with Adley Rutschman. But then Jackson Holliday, the former number one overall pick a couple of years ago, is waiting in the wings too. So I just see the Baltimore Orioles as one of those teams that's going to be awesome this year again.
Yeah, and they look like they are going to get better, like you said, because I know heading into last season they had the number one rated minor league system in all baseball. They had that, and plus they won their division last year. So it looks like they're going to be good for a while. They were bad for a while, and you know, for a long time actually. And you know, they watched the Nationals win it all in 2019, and that was kind of their wake-up call, and they've responded to that. They brought in new baseball people, you know, new management to make decisions, and it's obviously paid off because, you know, they're going to have they had a good team last year, and they're going to have a heck of a good team this year.
And then I want to also get into the NL West because I think it's kind of similar to the AL West in that it's got a lot of really top-heavy teams. But first and foremost, we have a texter that texted in that they were a big Cubs fan. We know we have a few of those down here as well. Uh-huh. And with the Cubs going out and getting new manager, Craig Counsell, the NL Central is one of those divisions I view kind of like the AL Central. It's very winnable. I think the Cardinals are technically the preseason favorites to win the NL Central, but I could see a team like the Cubs potentially taking it. Same thing with a team like the Cincinnati Reds as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty wide open for the taking. I think Craig Counsell and the Cubs could be a team that could get it.
Yeah, absolutely right on that. It is wide open, and I've heard a lot of different people. I mean, if you talk to five different people, you're going to probably have five different teams as far as who's going to be predicted to win that division. Today I was reading a publication that was picking the Cubs to win the division this year. And, you know, I was hearing recently about the Brewers, you know, and the Reds being a preseason favorite. So, yeah, I think any one of those four of those five teams could possibly win that division this year.
Talking to Gary Sarnoff, author and also baseball historian. Curious, what were your thoughts on how things have gone with the Shohei Ohtani scandal now in the MLB?
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I don't think anybody does right now, but I certainly don't like it. I don't like what I'm hearing. And, you know, that could be trouble for Major League Baseball. You know, hopefully it'll be okay and we can just move on and think about the baseball season and the pennant race.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's almost like you could feel this coming with how easily, you know, it is to place bets now on sports. It's just in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, we had a speaker, Society of American Baseball Research, we had a speaker last winter who talked about that, and she made a very good point. She said, I'm just waiting for the other foot to drop, because I agree. I think this gambling is asking for trouble.
No, absolutely. And I think that the impact that it could have, the MLB has already opened an investigation into this entire incident. And obviously, Ohtani's come out and made a statement. It's a huge scandal so far. And, you know, we only know the bare minimum, so we can't really talk too much about it. But the Dodgers, I mean, they got to be hating this. They go out and spend some money. Shohei Ohtani gives them a quote-unquote discount. Like, yes, it's a $700 million contract, but it's all backloaded. Like, early on, he gave them a deal to where they can just load up on elite players to go on World Series runs for the next, you know, half decade. They go out and get Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the ace from Japan, and he's going to be joining a loaded pitching rotation with guys like Tyler Glasnow, and obviously Kershaw is back as well. I mean, so this kind of overshadows what the Dodgers have done this offseason to reload and try and go for some World Series championships.
Yeah, it's really a shame. And, you know, not only are the Dodgers worried, you mentioned the Dodgers have to be worried, and for sure they are, but I think Major League Baseball has to be worried as well. And they are going to investigate this, and let's just hope that, you know, it's okay, because, you know, I'm excited. A lot of people are very excited heading into the season. Promises to be a fun season, another exciting season, and one thing we do not need is a distraction like this.
Gary, we've got a really good text from a listener. He said, as a historian of baseball, what do you think about the pitch clock? Gary, for me, you know, when I heard about the rule, I was really against it as far as postseason goes, but speeding up the games, I can understand that. But once you get to the playoff time, I was a little bit worried that it would kind of lessen some really important moments with, you know, runners on base, runners in scoring position in tight games, and having a pitch clock for the pitchers. But you know, after a season of viewing it, Gary, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think it was that big of a difference.
No, I don't think it was either. I agree. And I think you need to speed up the games because these games were taking too long. Some games were lasting as long as longer than 4 hours. And, you know, that's just too long. And the pitch clock has helped, and it makes it easier for families to bring kids to the games, you know. And I think it's a good idea. I'm all for speeding up the game.
Gary, definitely appreciate the time. Where can folks get your book and any other things that you've written in the past? I know you've got one on the 1933 Wrecking Crew and also the first Yankees dynasty as well. I'm assuming every bookstore and Amazon.com and any other places.
Yeah, you could find my book on Amazon or you could order it through the publisher, which is Roman and Littlefield. It's also available at Barnes and Noble, Thrift Books, and Walmart.
Awesome stuff. Thank you for the time, Gary, and definitely we'll be enjoying opening day with you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Appreciate
Gary.
Appreciate it.
Again, that's Gary Sarnoff, author of Team of Destiny. Go check out his work. Excited for the start of the MLB season. Going to take a break when we get back. We'll get into some of LSU Pro Day's sound. Hear from quarterback Jaden Daniels. Could be the number two pick of the NFL draft. We'll be right back with more on WWL after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Talking a little LSU Tigers right now. The Pro Day going on in Baton Rouge earlier today. Some of the players got to show off their talents. We got to see Jaden Daniels actually throw the football, didn't participate in anything at the combine, has a lot of interviews going on right now. I just don't know how many teams are going to be able to get their hands on him. I'm thinking it's either going to be Washington or the New England Patriots at this point.
Well, if you ask Mike, it's going to be Washington, and he's going to be the number two pick in the draft. And I don't disagree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because if he does fall to New England, New England's interviewing him today, or they already did at his pro day.
Right.
So if he does fall there to three, I think that they would probably take him. It's going to be 1-2-3 quarterback. We know that for sure. Maybe even four, depending on if Minnesota or Denver or whoever were to trade up with
From
the Cardinals
McCarthy,
for the fourth overall pick. But number one's going to be Caleb, and then the question mark becomes, does Jaden become the second guy off the board, or is it Drake May from North Carolina? Regardless of who it is, the other guys want to go at three.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to think you're going to have the QBs go 1-2-3 and possibly, like you said, maybe possibly four. If someone decides to trade up. Anyway, Jaden Daniels had his day at the Pro Day today. Let's hear what he had to say afterwards.
How do you feel about your prospects for going? I mean, you're getting a real sense that you're going to go in one of those top few spots, and how ready do you think you are going to be right away to play in the NFL?
God wouldn't put me in nothing that ain't here to feel I can handle. So obviously he put me in this position. You know, my life is calling mapped out. Only he knows. So it's just going out there. I feel like I'll be ready. It's a learning curve for everything. You know, I'm just ready, you know, hear my name called and then go in there just ready to learn and, you know, meet my new teammates.
To what do you attribute your development and growth as a quarterback from your first season here to your Heisman Trophy winning season last year?
That was kind of just like my first true offseason. Every offseason I was kind of dealing with something. Wasn't injury-wise, but, you know, obviously learning a new playbook my freshman year, and then you deal with the pandemic, and then, you know, I'm dealing with personal stuff off the field. So it's kind of my first true offseason. You know, it makes it easier when I'm able to build that camaraderie, that chemistry with my receivers. And obviously, you know, we see it. Y'all seeing it today. You know, still there. You know, those are my brothers for life. So it makes it easier throwing the ball to them, too.
Jaden, with the routes and throws that you guys selected today, it seemed like, you know, going under center wasn't something. Y'all did a whole lot of here at LSU last year. What were you trying to show, and how do you think you did with them?
Yeah, I'll just say the main thing was just trying to show my consistency within the pocket and my footwork, moving off platform, in rhythm, you know, progressions coming back to a third read, you know, just move around and make sure I get my feet back under me. And the other stuff was kind of just fun, you know. It's just something that we do. We out there having fun. You hear the music playing. You know, you're out there having fun. And, you know, the deep ball, that's kind of the show. You know, show that my guys, they got the speed, you know, can track the football. I could go out there and put it out there for them.
Last year this time, you really wasn't on anybody's draft radar. What did you feel like you had to do this past season to jump to where you are now?
What I did this past season? I mean, just go out there and just prove myself. Obviously, I had to put myself back on the market. But, you know, it's day in, day out. You know, this is a goal I set. That's a goal that me, Malik, and Brian set. You know, this is how we want our life to map out. And we know you just put in the work and you go out there and you got to execute it.
Jaden, at the combine, you said you weren't going to participate until pro day. That way you can shine the light on your teammates that didn't get an invite to the combine. And all day you've been cheering them on and being there for them. Just how much it meant to you to do that for them and also wearing Greg Brooks on your shirt. How much did that mean?
It meant a lot. That's, you know, obviously if Greg was here, he'd be a part of this. So he's not here, but, you know, he's in spirit. I'm here to rep him. You know, my teammates that didn't get an invite to the combine, obviously they had multiple eyes out here, all 32 and more. So it was great for them to go out there and showcase the talent, showcase how they move, and, you know, write their own journey. You know, they get an opportunity. You know, I know they're going to crush it.
Yeah, hey, Jaden, you obviously leave here and you hand the keys over to a guy like Garrett and Ricky, who's also in that room. You know, you spend a lot of time with those guys the last couple of years. Just what do you think about the future of the quarterback room at LSU?
I think it's in good hands. You know, whether that's Ricky or whether that's Nuss, it's in good hands. And, you know, go out there, they're their own person. So I'm excited to see them grow into that role and then, you know, see what they could do, you know, this upcoming season.
Coach Kelly was talking about how he keeps hearing the question about you and at the next level, can he slide or will he slide? How much of that have you been working on, and how much of that is a skill that, you know, some quarterbacks kind of, you know, have to learn how to pick up on?
I mean, towards the end of the year, I'll slide more. Well, not really sliding, but, you know, being smarter. But, you know, it just comes with longevity. You know, just know when the journey is over, when I was getting out of bounds, you know, getting down. So early in the season, you know, I was kind of, you know, trying to make a little plays. You know, I thought I was kind of faster and stuff. You know, there's a lot of other things that go into it, stuff that we argue about outside of this building. But, you know, remotely is on me at the end of the day.
That's LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels after today's pro day and getting ready for that NFL draft now. I'm sure he is excited. Even, you know, obviously this interview process has to be pretty stressful.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to hear his name called in less than a month. And that's kind of my question for you, Steve. You know, looking to your crystal ball, is Jaden Daniels the number two pick in the draft?
I definitely think he is. And even if it isn't the Washington Commanders, although I can't imagine them moving off the spot since they're in need of that QB position with dealing Sam Howell now.
No, I would agree. And so you're looking at Jaden as the number two pick, and then the number three pick then would be Drake May from UNC at quarterback for New England.
Seems like a New England guy, yeah.
But then things get a little bit interesting because the fourth pick is what Arizona has. They could stay put and take, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers there, or they could trade back with a team that really wants to go select J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, whether that be Denver, whether that be Minnesota, you know, whether that be Las Vegas, I think is a sneaky team that could get involved.
Is the J.J. McCarthy hype all this pre-draft nonsense and come draft day we're not going to see him go in the draft until later in round one? Because
no.
I do think he is a first-round pick, but I just don't think it's that high up in the top 10, 15.
He's going to be a top 10 pick. Almost guaranteed. Now, the question is, does he go four? Does he go, like, he's going to be a top 10 pick. One of those teams is going to trade up to go get him. So now we'll see what happens there. I think, as Mike has said multiple times, as far as the draft shakes out in the first half of it, there's going to be a lot of offensive linemen taken, a lot of tackles taken, a lot of receivers taken. The top three guys are going to be off the board immediately. Brian Thomas Jr., who we're going to hear from in a little bit, will be one of those as well. Outside of Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and Marvin Harrison. And then you're going to see four quarterbacks taken in the top half of the draft, if not the top 10. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes up. You know, we also heard from Malik Nabers as well. And I think that the gap is sort of closing in a little bit on Marvin Harrison Jr., who everyone expected to be the slam dunk first receiver off the board.
Right,
see
absolutely.
How that works out.
Now, it'll be interesting to see if the Arizona Cardinals are tempted with Nabers. And, yeah, he shined at today's pro day. A 4.35 in the 40, vertical leap of 42 inches, and just an overall stud. We know there's these pro days are funny because, obviously, it's everybody's best on display. But you've seen what these guys have done in real game action is what – really counts and comes down to it. I don't understand, honestly, what the point of a pro day is, except maybe get your more measurables on someone or more eyes on a potential prospect. But I just don't get it, especially after Combine.
Mike's comp of neighbors to Ja'Marr Chase makes me think that he's almost a slam dunk top five pick. Maybe he falls to six and the Giants take him, but he doesn't fall past that, almost certainly. It's, you know, as
that'd be
far
something.
As,
if, I think we've talked about it before, too. Obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. going to New York, another LSU star could be on their way to Big Blue and could shine on
Just look at Apple stage.
Like
Ja'Marr Chase, like he was the fifth overall pick in the draft to the Bengals. A team is going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze, all three of those guys are top 10 picks. It's a matter of what order they go in and how far they fall. And for me, I don't think Nabers falls past six.
Malik Nabers, you mentioned him from wide receiver U. Here's what he had to say after his pro day.
Very random one to start. Your hand's measuring at 9 7/8. What size glove do you wear?
A 4X.
You had waited today to work out, and obviously, you know, you put up the numbers that you did. Just what were you trying to show today in particular?
I was just trying to showcase my talent, you know, showcase my dog mentality that I have that everybody knows. To come out here on the pro day and just to shut it down. You know, I didn't do everything at the combine. So, you know, I know everybody was, you know, wanted to see what I was going to do here at the pro day. I've been up since 5, so, you know, I've been ready to go at it. You know, I woke up in the morning, I knew something was going to be special. So I wanted just to follow right behind that, you know, and just do something special today.
After you got done with your first 40, I think I heard you saying, like, stop playing with me, something like that from far away. It just seems like you play with a chip on your shoulder, everything you're doing. Where does that hunger come from, and are you confident you'll have that for the rest of your life?
I'll probably say, you know, seeing a lot of things on the media saying I was 4'5", 4'6". So I just wanted to, you know, come out here and then, you know, showcase that. Now I'm not even close to that, you know. So when I heard the first time, you know, Jaden had told me, you know, take him off. But, you know, me being me, I thought I could have gone faster. So, you know, that's why I ran it the second time also.
What has been some of the feedback, some of the commentary that you have gotten from these teams?
You know, I would probably say, you know, I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, receiver one off the board. You know, dog mentality that I play with is like, you know, when I get the ball in my hands, you know, I'm going to do tremendous things with it. You know, it's already, you know, I have a plan to go score. So I'm trying to make the best explosive play that I can make on the field. So, you know, they told me those also things from, different teams. I play with a high chip on my shoulder, you know, dog mentality when I'm out there on the field. You can tell, you know, after I make plays, you know, I'm making sure the offense, you know, has that, you know, that energy to go out there and also make the same plays.
Obviously, after an impressive season, not much left really to prove. You left it all out on the field, but 4.35 official for your best 40, 42-inch vertical. What do you feel like those kind of statistics and attributes kind of do to assist you as you try to get as high as you can up the draft?
It just shows that, you know, all the guys that, you know, had pretty good numbers at the combine, you know, when people thought I wasn't going to be right there, you know, it was another just, you know, a chip on my shoulder just to me, you know, write my own story, you know. You know, not doing anything at the combine, didn't really stop anything. You know, I'm elite neighbors, you know, I can only ride the path for me. So, you know, just staying on my course, you know, not getting too carried away with, you know, the media and what they say, you know, just being the guy that I am, you know, a playmaker out there on the field, you know, whatever you want to see me do, you know, I'm happy to do it. You know, that's really it.
Malik, so to head coaches, GMs, fans out there, what do you want them to know about you?
Humble kid, you know, I've been humble for a long time, you know, but, you know, when I'm out there on that football field, I play with a different chip. I don't know, I come alive when I'm on the football field. You know, I put my heart, you know, my soul in it. You know, I believe that, you know, it helped me get out a lot of situations that I was in. So I put a lot into, you know, the football field. So when I'm out there on the field, it just shows, you know, the love that I got for the game. You know, I'm going to be that, you know, that player that they can count on, you know, anytime that they need a, you know, a play to be made.
Do you have a range of picks where you really expect to be taken at this point? What is that range? And then just why do you feel ready to make the transition right now?
I would just say wherever a team picks me at, you know, if I get picked, you know, 19, you know, it's not going to change the dog mentality that I have. And I'm always be, you know, I'm always stating I'm receiver one. You know, that's the, you know, the chip that I walked up in here with my shoulder. You know, I walked up in here stating that I was receiver one when I was a freshman. I always still got that chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm sure those other guys also, you know, those guys that's on the wall, you know, in the receiver room, they had that same mentality, that same chip. So to follow right behind that, you know, I'm always be receiver one in my eyes. So I'm always go out there and try to prove that.
That was Malik Nabers. And yeah, there's no way he's going to 19. Definitely would expect nothing past 7, where Tennessee is picking right now.
Tennessee's an interesting one because they could be a team that takes them as well. Like, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Steve. If he falls to seven,
the Titans are going
to run up to the board and they're going to be happy. Even though they signed Calvin Ridley to that ridiculous deal, like Malik Nabers is a guaranteed top five prospect in this class, best player available. That's the only situation where they take him, I think, is if the Chargers go like Joe Alt with the fifth overall pick and they don't have their top tackle on the board. So they just go best player available and Malik Nabers is right there.
Going from one LSU wide receiver to another, Brian Thomas Jr. was on display today as well. Talked to the media after his pro day. Here's what he said.
So you're a local guy.
Is it?
And you had an interesting path here. You had a breakout season this season. Is this kind of how you saw it going when you committed to LSU?
Yes, sir. This is what I dreamed of, what I envisioned when I committed to come to LSU. I mean, it started off kind of slow. I didn't have the production that I wanted or whatever my first 2 years. But I would say I stepped it up my junior year and was able to go out there and get the production I wanted. And look where I'm at now.
Not a lot of people nationally knew about you before this season. So now that a lot of people are talking about you as maybe a first-round guy, what do people need to know most about you?
That I'm a hard worker. I didn't get this far by not working hard. So I would say I'm a hard worker. I'm very competitive. I'm going to come in each and every day and give it my all. So, yeah, yes, sir.
So, Brian, the NFL, obviously, it's the cream of the crop, the best talent. Where do you think you kind of fit in and kind of as a rookie coming in? Obviously, you don't know where you're going to go, but how do you think you can impact a team right out the jump?
I feel like I can come in or earn the trust of a quarterback, earn the trust of coach and staff. And just earning trust of all my teammates just to know, like, when I'm given my opportunity, I'm going to go out there and make the play. Yes, sir.
I watched your game in Tampa where you got that great catch against Wisconsin. Got to say, that was a good one.
Yes, sir.
But what was your favorite moment here in your career at LSU?
Oh, my favorite moment, I would have to say my sophomore year, the game against Alabama, beating them, and everybody rushing the field. I would have to say that was my favorite moment here at LSU.
So you played the full duration of the bowl game there. I know Malik played a little bit, but yeah. – What was it like playing with Garrett, and what can you share with us about what he'll bring to the offense here next season?
Yeah, I feel like Garrett has a very bright future. I feel like they can come in next year and do big things. He has a bright future coming ahead of him. It was just amazing to go out there and be able to play alongside with Garrett. I had played with him like my sophomore year, freshman year. But just being able to go out there and play a full game with him, I mean, it was great to do.
LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr., big juiced up 6'4" wide receiver, big time potential in the NFL as a vertical threat, yards after catch weapon. Very interested to see where he lands as well, and definitely someone we're fully expecting to be a first rounder, right, Charlie?
Undoubtedly. He may be closer to, you know, the 16 to 24 range,
right,
like Mike had mentioned earlier. There are a couple teams, though, that I think would love to have him, maybe even trade up into the early 20s to go get him. I love his fit in Buffalo. I don't know if he'll get drafted by Buffalo. Buffalo's got the 28th overall pick. But just based off of the decline of Stephon Diggs recently, I think that Brian Thomas Jr. could go into that situation and just eat with someone like Josh Allen that can throw up those contested catch balls and just watch him work. He's such a freak athlete, and I can't wait to see what he does at the next level. But ultimately, as Mike kind of projected, anywhere from that 16 to 24 range is probably where Brian Thomas Jr. is going to go.
Well, so there you go. We heard from the three prospects everyone's expecting to go in round one of the NFL draft coming up. Obviously, there's some more LSU Tigers that are also draft eligible who took part in the pro day. We don't have any audio for them, unfortunately, but there's definitely plenty of Tiger talent in this year's draft as well. But interesting to see if maybe in later rounds the Saints toy around and end up picking an LSU player. I know a lot of their staff was there in attendance today, so there was tons of black and gold eyes on the field in Baton Rouge. Going to take a break. Be right back. Closing things out on Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Closing up shop here on Sports Talk. We shall return tomorrow on the Thursday show. We'll get into some LSU women's basketball with Chessa Boucher, sports reporter for BRProud.com, and preview the ladies' Sweet 16 matchup against UCLA. Plus, we'll get into Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel. We'll talk a little Pelicans, rest of the NBA in the Western Conference. Hope you had a good time, everybody. Have a great night, and be talking to you tomorrow until first pitch for LSU baseball Arkansas, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame coverage right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Have a great evening, everybody. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.